from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We have HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Sports Station. What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, Royals continue their series against the Angels, now trying to make sure they don't lose the series to the Angels. That would be a major disappointment, especially considering how things went two nights ago. Royals will send Michael Lorenzen on the bump tonight. 7:10 first pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show coming up at 6. He's also going to join us here in about a half hour on Cody and Gold. It'll be Johnny Cueto, the former Royal, on the bump, making his first start of 2024.
Johnny Cueto.
Yeah, that song. You know that song I had honestly had
that doesn't
not
count
heard
as me doing a song. I know that I'm.
Johnny Cueto, welcome to Kansas City.
Mine still works. All that still works. It does. Help him win the World Series. Uh-huh. Help him get the win tonight, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, you're helping them accomplish those goals. Don't you think that that's the case? That game was disappointing last night. Definitely felt like one that they were going to win.
Well, the crowd.
And they just kind of slipped away. But the first two nights, crowd. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
with
the crowd, you know, yell Cueto's name. Or what was that? Remember where they were like, we've got his head a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, I do.
Are we going to do that at the K tonight?
I don't remember. I don't even remember what it was now. Maybe.
It was like Cueto. It was like, what it was a time like a, to... You guys remember. Some of you listening remember.
You know, every time I think about him, it always feels like the Major League 2 comparison. Where like, he did that shimmy and you talk about it. And it's like Jack Parkman, right? It's like, if he does it for your team, you love it. And then it's like, makes the ladies go crazy, right? And then when Jack Parkman's on the other squad.
It was Pirates fans back in the day. They got under, at the time, Cincinnati Red pitcher, Johnny Cueto. They repeatedly chanted his name. Remember, he dropped the baseball on the mound.
Yeah,
and then he
gave
up a solo home run to Russell Martin.
You know, Cueto's, we don't need to do Cueto
know,
like that.
I understand.
I'm just saying he should throw the game for his former team. That's all. Next up on What's Trending, Pete Carroll is returning to USC. Not as a coach. Relax a little bit. The former Seahawks and Trojans coach is heading to there to teach class.
Oh, he's just like
at you. USC this spring. He'll be joining me in the adjunct world. Said, quote, I'm looking forward to it. It's really going to be an exciting endeavor when it's finalized and all that. So Pete Carroll following in my footsteps.
You guys are making the same
becoming,
amount of money.
You know, going to the alma mater, essentially. No, we're not. And becoming an adjunct professor.
You guys on the same salary. One at UMKC, one at private school, USC, and all that.
Yeah, right? And Los Angeles.
What do you think? Do you think it's a zero different or two zeros different in
two,
his pay?
Two.
Damn, two?
Yes.
Two zeros?
I think so.
Yes, I would say so.
Also, maybe just like a zero. It's one class, man.
Guess what, though? I mean, taxes, though, I mean, you might have...
Might be about the same.
Yeah, I'm sure they're making the exact same amount of money now.
No, I'm just saying the difference in like taxes in
terms
in California
of percentage.
Here. Oh, I'm saying we might be making the same amount of money after taxes.
I don't know about that.
I don't think so, but
probably closer. You know.
Next up on What's Trending, we know Travis Kelce's got a couple projects he's working on. He's going to be on that Amazon reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? He's also got the FX show, and now Adam Sandler says Travis Kelce's going to have a part in the Happy Gilmore sequel. That's a real thing. That was a real thing on Tuesday's episode of The Tonight Show.
They got everybody in that
with
movie.
Jimmy Fallon. This is what Adam Sandler had to say.
And
there's going to be some cameos in there.
There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah.
I heard, do you know Travis Kelce wants to be part of this?
Yes.
He talked about it.
Travis has been, he mentioned it, and so we have a nice something for Travis. He's going to come by, and he's cool. Very nice guy. You guys would love him in real life. What a big, handsome guy. And,
He's a stud,
and he's so funny. And
there you go. Adam Sandler showing some love for
Travis. It starts recording
Travis
in 2
Kelce.
Weeks. When's Travis going to do this? On just like a Tuesday?
It's a quick cameo. Cody, I was an extra in 8 hours, and I was done. Travis might have 2 lines. He'll be done in 8 hours.
He'll fly private. It won't even be a problem.
They'll have everything ready to go for him. They'll probably send him the script of the 5 words he has to say. He'll be good to go.
He said he's starting to practice his swing again. I'm going to watch this even though I know it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, you are.
Because I watched Happy Gilmore too many times as a kid to just ignore it. Next up on What's Trending, Jerry Jones claims they've had promising talks with CD Lamb about a possible contract extension. He has currently been holding out, like a number of players in the NFL right now, seeking that new wide receiver money, probably not made easier by the raise that Tyreek Hill got. But said they had promising talks. We'll see. We can talk more about those players later. Their number of players that were only 2.5 weeks for most of the teams in the league, 2 weeks for the Chiefs from the opening of the season. And there's some guys who still don't have deals done, who are making it clear they don't have them done. There's plenty of players who just don't have a contract yet, like Creed Humphrey, but a little different.
Last on What's Trending, be sure to text in to 913-586-7965. That's the new 96.5 The Fan text line from Jay Southland Tow Service. I need you to text in suggestions on where I should take Cody in Vegas. We fly there tonight. Just text in. Tell me where you think Cody needs to go. That's it. That's what's
like a restaurant?
Anywhere. 913-586-7965. This evening we fly out to Vegas. We'll be doing our shows there for the next 2 days out at Circa Resort and Casino. And if you're thinking about going out to the Chiefs Raiders game in October, that is going to be the place to be. We'll have plenty more details on that. We're planning on hosting a party. We'll have some game day tickets as well.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to be in Vegas in October in order to win those.
Come out and see. By the way, if you just happen to be in Vegas this weekend or the next couple of days, let us know. Hit us up on social media.
Are you going to actually get in the water at the pool?
I got in the water at the pool the last time, remember?
What?
Took my shoes off. It was freezing.
Yeah, I'm talking about like diving in.
I brought a swimsuit.
Jumping in.
I brought a swimsuit.
It's going to
be 110
packed.
Degrees. You think I'm not going to get in the pool?
That's what I'm saying.
It's supposed to be hot, dude.
I can't wait. Head out to Vegas.
107,
today.
You guys said?
107. It's a dry heat, Drew. It's a dry heat. You know?
Someone says, you have to go to the casino. You can't walk in Vegas without being in a casino.
We're staying at Circa Resort and Casino.
I know they're being funny.
Every text so far, 3 in a row, suggesting a certain place.
Yeah.
What does this mean? What's trending. From the 816. Cody will fit in great at Fremont Street. Can you help me understand what that means?
Well, you guys remember,
there are performers on Fremont.
Well, there are. And my favorite story still from the last trip to Vegas when Drew was with us as well. We were having dinner at some
random bar grill that overlooks Fremont.
And there's a lot of people watching. And there was a street performer. And I'll just leave it at this. There was a nun. And anybody that's been to Fremont Street, you know exactly. There was a nun that was just greeting everybody. And Drew was like, wait, is her top off? Like, yes, Drew. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Drew. That's her whole shtick.
That's the whole vibe.
It's the first time over 21 I've
been
there.
By Cody fitting in, I'm not sure exactly what they mean, but
they want
I also
you to perform a song on Fremont Street.
Do you want to bungee jump off the stratosphere together?
Hell no. Absolutely not.
Come on, man. It's like a thing. People do it.
Absolutely not. There is no chance that I am jumping off the stratosphere.
That texture wants you to bring a boom or get a boombox and perform Pasquantino.
You have to reserve those circles, don't you?
There's circles where the street performers have to be. We should have tried to figure out the permit or whatever and had you stand there and you just on it.
That's my punishment. Just carry
on. I was going to say, talk about punishment.
Songs.
Yeah.
And I'll stand there and
we could probably
the
get
money.
That arranged by October.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going now, but we're also going in October. Oh my God, that'd be so embarrassing. To stand there with some cheap karaoke machine singing all my songs on Fremont. Everyone's like, nobody knows these songs. Why are you singing Pasquantino about Despacito? This makes no sense to anyone there. So
people would just look and think you're crazy, but that's Fremont Street. Would anybody actually give you money? I think that should be something we do. That I'll get video of it, and you have to do it until you get, you know, $10 or $5, and let's see how long.
Chiefs fans come through.
If you want to make this like as part of this Bengals and Chiefs bit, I'm already giving out a lot. All you guys are doing is going to McDonald's if the Chiefs lose. So I feel like you should be required to
do this too.
To do this on Fremont Street.
I don't even remember what you offered up if the Bengals lose, besides the tattoo now. But that was a barber.
The hair.
Oh, the hair.
He's going with the Joe Burrow cut.
Does he have to go to McDonald's too?
Yes,
he's got all kinds of things.
I know. He keeps making the bets.
Did you make something with Mac separate too?
Mac wanted to be in on the hair thing as well. Like, if the Chiefs lose, Mac's
got
to
do that.
Yeah, we'll scout the location too. If the Royals win the World Series, for your tattoo that you have to have,
so we'll scout that.
There's $10 tattoos on Fremont.
What did you say, Goldie, you would do?
They're doing the McDonald's thing. Oh, for the World Series. I said I would.
I think it was just, if
he said he'd shave his head bald.
If Felix had 10 sacks.
Same, 14, by the way, but I'm still good either. I think I'll be okay. I'll lower it to 10. If Felix gets 10 sacks this year, I'll also do the same.
If he's got 4 through 4 games, you're going to be sweating. You're going to regret lowering that number.
That's what I'm saying.
I have been way more a defender of Felix. Not that I think he's going to be great, but I think people have been a little too harsh to already call him a bust before year two is completed. But with that said, I feel very good about the 10 sacks.
That's a lot of sacks.
I do. All right, let's talk about the Royals before Vern joins us in 20 minutes.
Yeah, the Royals last night, I don't want to get too carried away on one game. Last night embodies, again, what their single biggest problems are. If the starter struggles a little, which he did, and you have to get to the bullpen in the fifth inning, like they did, then they're going to lose. They're just going to lose because the bullpen is not going to go 4 scoreless innings across the board. MacArthur came in. Couldn't hold the runs from scoring for Reagans. Stopped it there at least at 2. They crawled back in. Bobby, Vinny get some more hits. Now all of a sudden it's 7-5 again. But the bullpen has to keep pitching in that game. They let up 2 more and the game just kind of got out of control. I'm not frustrated by that one unless what you said happens. They lose this series. Then that one felt winnable last night. It was 3-2 in the 6th with your ace on the mound. Just as long as he doesn't walk and plunk a guy and then hand it over to the bullpen in the 6th inning, you shouldn't have been sweating it the way you did. And then you let that game get out of control because of your bullpen. Win this one today, and so what? You won 5 of 6 against bad teams. You won a series against a bad team before, as we know again on Friday, the really difficult part of their schedule goes back. You're still only 3.5 games back in the division. You're in the same spot as you were with the Twins. You're still 3.5 games up in the wild card. Nothing's fundamentally changed. That one just felt sloppy and like Cole Reagans didn't have it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And maybe some would view this as unfair, but I think it's the reality of the situation with this rotation and where this team is positioned right in the heart of a divisional and wild card race, which is Cole Reagans can't have really any more of those type of outings the rest of the way. I mean, that's just, I can say, hey, that's putting a lot of pressure on him. It's just reality. He's the ace of this staff. And he's been great this entire season. He's still top 4, I think, in baseball and strikeouts. He's been awesome. But that outing, I don't know if that can happen again.
No,
the rest of the season. That is,
he just didn't have it.
Unfair to some, but that to me is just where things stand with the rotation. Especially if you're concerned about Lugo. We know Lugo was much better on Monday night. We'll see if he can carry that over to the Phillies series this weekend. But last night, it was an off night for Reagans. That just can't happen again. And it's because the reason why there's no wiggle room is because of the bullpen issues. When you have to ask for extended innings, we know how that has gone time and time again. We know the formula of both winning and losing for this team. It really isn't that complicated. If you're not going to have great starting pitching, and you're going to have a mistake in the field,
which
like
cost Reagans pitches
had,
early in the game. So Reagans might have been able to get himself out of his own problems in the 6th, but he couldn't because of the pitch count in the 1st when Hampson dropped the ball and then two extra runners got on base. But also, Reagan just didn't have his best stuff.
He didn't.
He was wild.
He didn't, but it's a combination of, look, we can focus on Hampson because that's a play, has to be made. But you're reliant on Cole Reagans. You're not relying on Garrett Hampson. Now, he has to make that play. And you're right. It added, 15, 20 more pitches to Cole Reagans' outing. But that's just one, and I'll be, I don't know how many more starts we think Reagans has. Let's see. It's August 20. What do we think? Five, what does he
six?
Get? Five, six. he can't have one of those again. I'm not saying he has to go seven shutout innings, but he can't have one of those again.
No, not and win the division. He can have one more of those and they get to the playoffs still, just as long as somebody else picks up the slack. But they are down to a not zero, like I would say a zero bad, like bad start policy for the top three in the rotation the rest of the way if they want to win the division. They cannot have Brady Singer, Seth Lugo, or Brady Singer lose them baseball games. They can lose a baseball game in which they're kept in it, or when, but they can't just have them. Cole Reagan's lost in that game more than the bullpen because of the high. It's like being the CEO of the company. Sorry, you're in charge. Falls more on you when things aren't going the way that they're supposed to because you're the man in charge. And Cole Reagan's, because of how well he's pitched this year, is the man in charge. He's in charge of making sure these things go the way they're supposed to go.
Well, I agree. That's why I said as much as Hampson is going to get crap because that's a play that has to be made. If this team makes the postseason, it's going to be because of Cole Reagan's, not because of Garrett Hampson, with all due respect to him. But he can also not be a reason why you lose a baseball game. I mean, I think all of that can be true, and hopefully they win the series with a win tonight. If they do that, then it's all good because you would have taken the series win. Now it just puts more emphasis on Michael Lorenzen. You're asking more out of him. Can he? He's been basically giving you, what, five and a third?
But I mean, he's going against Johnny Cueto. He's not going against Justin Verlander on the other side or Paul Skeens.
Right, we say he's going against him, but also, is the offense showing up tonight? Early? Hopefully. Can you jump on Johnny Cueto?
Johnny Cueto, let's see. What is his ERA this year?
Has he not pitched this year?
He has not pitched in the majors this year.
Mexicano El Rey, Dominicano El Rey.
I haven't heard that song in so long. Let's see. I got to pull up the minor league stats. Last year, he pitched in a couple of games for the Marlins, which included a 6.02 ERA in 13 games pitched for the Marlins last year.
He's 38 years old.
So he pitched 13 games for the Marlins last year and had a 6.02 ERA. He has pitched for three different teams in the minor leagues this year. Hmm. He had a 5.92 ERA in AAA.
The Angels' season is over. They just need a body to start tonight, and that's what's happening. The Royals have no business.
This is a physical body.
Have no business losing tonight. I would have said that last night as well, but it's definitely the case.
No, I think we could rightfully come on the air tomorrow and be like, "How the hell did you lose that one?" It's very rare, in my opinion, in a baseball game that you can just straight up say, you cannot, you have no business, because baseball's weird, you have no business losing a game tonight against Johnny Cueto. Not unless somehow he finds 10-year-ago Johnny, finds like some time machine sometime between now and 7-10's first pitch.
How much money do you guys think Cueto has made in his career? He's 38. He's been in the league for a long time. How much money do you think his career, where's his career?
$210 million.
That's your guess? Cody, where are you at?
I can't remember the most. 180.
Close. $168. $168 million, John.
I knew
Cueto's.
It was a higher number than we might have thought.
And man loves baseball, I'll tell you that much. Because if I made $138 million and had a 6 earned run average, I'd be done. You'd not see me on a baseball diamond anymore. I call it quits. They are, tonight, the Royals are minus 180 on the money line. That's actually less than they were in game one of this series.
They were
minus like 2-something in game one of this series because the pitching matchup was even more favorable because it's Lorenzen, and in the first matchup, it was Lugo.
I was told by somebody that works in the gaming industry, and they took a bet yesterday, $15,000 on the Angels before the game.
Hmm. So did they cheat yesterday? Oh, wait, they won. What? And the Angels to win?
Yeah, and the Angels to win. That person won, like, paid out $40,000.
The money line is... The Royals have been not just money line favorites in these games, heavy money line favorites. They were minus money in the first two games on the run line in this series. They're only plus 105 on the run line tonight. They're saying it's even money to win by more than one. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to win by two or more if you're the Royals tonight. There's not an excuse. That's plain and simple. There's just no reason, even with Michael Lorenzen, who is your fifth starter on the mound, to lose to Johnny Cueto. He had a 6 earned run average in AAA this year. He's 38 years old. It'd be a really bad loss.
We'll talk more about tonight and last night a little bit with Josh Fernier, our Royals insider here on 96.5 The Fan. That's coming up in about 12 minutes or so. I was doing an interview the other day out in East Coast, what was it, DC, BetQL, so they're all over the country, but they're based on the East Coast, and they were asking about the Chiefs. You've done some interviews here recently as well, previewing the season. Everybody wants to talk about the three-peat quest and everything, and one of the questions they asked, Cody, was, what's the floor for the Chiefs? Like, hey, what's the floor look like for Kansas City? And I asked you if you guys agreed with my answer or not, if you would have said something different. I said, well, win-wise, I think the floor, assuming Mahomes is upright, 10 wins. That's as bad as it could possibly get this year. And they kind of chuckled a little bit because that's reality in Kansas City, that is viewed as the floor. That's what happens when you're in the middle of a dynasty, that would be worst case floor type of scenario, other than your quarterback misses half the season or a full season. Do you guys agree with that? Because to me, it's, hey, the number two cornerback does become a bigger issue. Kingsley has issues at left tackle. They still won the division by winning 10 games, by the way, in this scenario, but that's the floor.
11 games. I mean, they've never only won 10. 10 would require, like, in my opinion, we're not having a floor conversation. We're saying, Hollywood Brown, out for the, like, we're talking extenuating circumstances. Last season, their leading wide receiver in the room was a rookie at around 900 yards. Travis Kelce had the second worst, other than the year he was injured for the season, the second worst year of his career, arguably. They had no one else at wide receiver. They had a pretty good offensive line, so that helps a little bit.
And a number two defense, but yeah.
And the number two defense, and they still won 11. And things went weird in that year. They still had to lose to the Raiders on, or Broncos. Wait, who did they lose on Christmas Day?
They lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day.
The Raiders on Christmas Day, but the Broncos. They had to lose games even in a normal year, and it was still 11 wins. Their floor is 11 wins for the next 10 years. We could have this conversation, and unless something changes.
For the next 10 years?
Yes.
You realize that Andy's probably not coaching for the next 10. That's where it gets interesting.
And these are one of those things you just, like, straight up can't bet. Because, like, somebody's like, you can't just, like, make up your own bets and be like, what odds will you give me, local casino? I'd like to bet something. If you gave me a bet, and I don't know what it would be, 30 to 1, 40 to 1, maybe it'd be more than that.
Oh, I don't think you'd get that good of odds.
For the next decade, I win whatever odds it is. If for the next decade, they win 11 games or more. You don't think I get 30 to 40? It's 10 years. 10 yeah, years?
I just would never make a bet that takes 10 years to pay out.
No, I wouldn't either.
I get your point. Keep going. Sorry.
But I would bet that they finish with better than that. Yeah. I think they'll always be better than that under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And you're right. Somewhere at the end of that 10 years, it won't be Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But I also think that is going to be the easiest coaching job to hire for of all time. You choose. Like, I don't think Clark Hunt is just going to, like, pencil in Matt Nagy because you think it's him right now. Clark Hunt chose Andy Reid for a reason, and no coaching hires ever worked better than him. I think if Mike Tomlin's available, I think if Sean McVay's, I think whoever the best coach available to him at that time, that's who I think is the next head coach of the Chiefs. Maybe it is Nagy in their opinion, but whoever the best head coach is available at that time, that's who they're actually going to hire.
Yeah, it just depends who's on the staff at that given time down the road and everything like that. Yeah. No, I mean, the question was about the floor. That's why I say 10. Do I think they're winning 10 games? Of course not. I think they're winning 12, 13 plus games again this particular season. That was a question. I was like, okay, thinking more. They laugh because for most teams, if you ask any other franchise, any other than maybe San Francisco, their floor, they would still probably say single digits.
So
for a lot of teams in the NFL. I mean, if you're a Bills fan, your floor, floor is like 8 or 9. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're in Cincinnati, the floor is 8 or 9. Like,
same.
If you're San Francisco, you might say 10 as well, just because they're also in that category. Although maybe you think it's a little bit different because you still don't believe
depends
in Brock
on
Purdy.
Ayuk.
Yeah, and Ayuk.
If everybody's healthy, I think the floor is higher than 8 or 9 for the Bengals. I know that they're in the AFC North, but they're playing that fourth place schedule.
Think about the 10 win season. So even when Alex Smith was the quarterback. So let's just, the entire Andy Reid era, they have only won not 11 games twice. The second year Andy was a coach when they missed the postseason, the only time they missed the postseason under Andy Reid at 9-7. And then one time in 2017, still with Alex Smith as their head coach, or with their quarterback, the final year of Alex Smith, they won 10. So even with Alex Smith, they won 11 three of the 5 years. And then every single other, or three of the four, or three, I'm sorry, what is it? Yeah, 3 of the 5 years. And then every year under Mahomes. I don't see a ceiling. Their win totals with Mahomes have been 12, 12, 14, 12, 14, and then finally 11. 10 is not a floor. Do you think it's 10, Drew? I can't remember now. You say it's 11?
I think it's 10.
Yeah. I think it just like...
But again...
I think a lot of things would have to... like, you just guessed wrong. Worthy stinks. Kingsley can't play. Like, I think so. And even then, I don't know that they wouldn't scratch out 11. Like, that's the problem. It takes so much mental gymnastics to get me to 10.
So I guess you would say to be at 10-7, they would go 4-7 in games outside the division then? Because they're going to win. I mean, you could say they go undefeated.
I didn't break down that. The question was just, what's the floor?
I didn't go game by game.
How far are you willing to go on the ceiling?
Ceiling 15. I just think in today's NFL, like, we can all like, they're not going to lose a single game. Like, okay.
I would say 15 for the ceiling, too.
That feels right.
Yeah.
15 feels like the actual number.
You know, ridiculous of a season winning 15 games would be.
I would put it as a non-zero chance at 17, but like a really small percentage. You know, I don't want to have like a ceiling coverage because that's the same as saying like somebody got hurt, I think, going below the floor.
I mean, there's literal odds you can find on them to go undefeated. I can pull it up real quick. I mean, there's numbers to it.
What am I getting? 30-1?
That's what I was going to pull up real quick.
Because if it's like, we talk about this like when we were looking up like no hitter odds not that long ago. Sometimes the odds on these are not as good as I think.
Oh, if there's a better chance to get a no hitter than for
the Chiefs. I'd rather just do a single day parlay than some of the odds they'd give me on the Chiefs to go undefeated.
Any team to go undefeated is 12-1. The Chiefs to go undefeated are as 65-1. So
there you go.
$10 wins $650.
I mean, that actually,
$650.
You guys want to put $100 on it?
No.
See, no, that's $100.
I'm just like, I just roll my eyes at the whole 17.
That's one of those. Like, you whatever. Just put like a dollar in there. If you find a dollar on the.
You find a dollar on the street,
just put it on that.
And then hope you get $65 down the road.
Yeah.
Actually, those are the long shot bets I hate winning the worst. When I got like almost nothing on, I'm like, this sucks. I don't want to win this long shot bet. I want to win the one that I put 25 on.
That's how I feel. Our friend Ben Heisler and I, we made that Royals bet from January on 30-1 to win the AL Central. We're now finally getting down to crunch time on this thing, and they're 3.5 out. But like, it's a long. I mean, that was bait in January, Cody. We're not going to find out until October. So that's a long time to wait. But that also, I guess, makes it more enjoyable if you're fortunate enough to actually cash in on a bet like that. Let's talk some more Royals baseball coming up next, though. Here on 96.5 The Fan, our Royals insider Josh Vernier is going to join us. We'll talk about what the Royals have to do tonight, and if he agrees with us that Cole Reagans just cannot have an outing like that again the rest of the season.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so. But we know the Royals trying to make sure they win this series against the Angels tonight out of Kauffman Stadium. Michael Lorenzen on the bump. You can hear the game right here on 96.5 The Fan. And Vern's On Deck show starts at 6 o'clock. And let's go and welcome in our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Vern, I wanted to start with some comments we just had. I don't know if you caught any of it, talking about last night and Cole Reagans and his performance, which was obviously disappointing. Is it fair, though, for me to say that he just cannot have an outing like that again the rest of the season?
Yeah. If they're going to track down Cleveland, certainly. If they're going to win this division, no doubt, especially when you acknowledge the formidable opponents that await them starting on Friday. To me, he's one of eight guys that, listen, you're not allowed to regress down the stretch. If you're going to catch Cleveland, it's not going to be because Reagans, Lugo, Waka, Singer regress. It's not going to be because Salvi, Vinny, Urseg, or Bobby regress. Those eight, to me, need to play or pitch at an all-star, or in Bobby's case, an MVP level for this team to hold its own in this difficult stretch upcoming, track down Cleveland. And who knows? If you can track down Cleveland, you might have a chance to track down that first round bye to avoid that wild card round could be huge for this ball club. So yeah, Cole Reagans and really that game last night, I mean, 13 free bases given away when you add up the walks, errors, pass balls, hit by pitches. 13 free bases, that accounts for more than three runs in a game that you lost by four. No, just a bad game that, to me, it's easy to turn the page on other than looking at the page on the calendar. That's what makes it tough right now. That's not this team, what we saw last night, or that better not be this team, or else they only have 36 games left in their season.
Vern, the other part that we said was not just, like, now in the short term, there's zero excuse to lose this game tonight. I know, Vern, you've covered baseball, and baseball happens, right? And yeah, it's weird, but come on. Cueto had a six earned run average last year. He's got a six earned run average in AAA. They're literally putting a body out there to die. It'd be the same as asking me to throw tonight. Like, you can't lose tonight.
Oh, man. Yeah. Again, you lost last night, and you can make the case you gave it to him. Again, 13 free bases. No excuse, and I really have no worry. You have, other than what you're pointing out, that yes, it's still competition. Some of those Angels care, not all of them. Some of the Angels care, and they are professionals. They could, sure, it's possible that they win, but boy, it's. With a rested Urseg and Schreiber's ready to go, Bubich will be available, Sam Long's available, so your best four relievers, along with hopefully a solid five innings out of Michael Lorenzen, that should be enough to beat this team, especially when Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi are three of the best run producers in the sport.
Specifically, which Angels don't care? Which ones tonight?
Just give us one.
Just don't give a damn about this game this evening.
Well, going into watching the opener, Rendon's hustle down the line certainly didn't scream, I'm going for it. You know, I want to make sure that kid that's never seen me play sees me at my best. I didn't get that feeling from Logan Ohapi in the opener, even though I'm a fan of Ohapi. He had a chance to push it to three, but he pulled up for an easy double while rounding first base. So the Angels are not in the Royals class, and to your point, Cody, they should remind them of that tonight.
Ben Joyce looked like he cared, so I'll give
good
him credit.
Good night, Loretta. Wow. Yes, indeed.
Did 103 ever, miles an hour three straight times. I mean, he looked every bit.
And you know Bobby was geared up for it. Uh-huh. That's what makes it all the more impressive is Bobby was so – I mean, Bobby wasn't close, and yet, you know, that's – You know, I remember Alex Zumwalt, Royals hitting coach, telling me, you know, Bobby's preparation is, you know, try to blow my doors off. You know, I want to see the best you have, turn it up to 11. He's always testing his own boundaries, offensively, defensively, on the base paths. So for Joyce to blow him away like that, yeah, that was eye-popping. You know, the first time you see 104.8 show up on Crown Vision, you're thinking, is it broke? Is there an additional light being lit up that shouldn't be lit up right now? No, that was impressive. I hope I don't see it again. I don't think I'll see it again. I better not see it again.
We're talking to Josh Vernier, Royals insider, his On Deck show tonight, 6 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. We learned yesterday that Hunter Harvey suffered a setback. He's not going to even be able to play catch or do any baseball activity for another couple days, so just push the timeline back even further. Of course, that trade has been disappointing to this point. I know they have him under control for next year as well, but I don't know if you were counting on him necessarily, you personally, that he was going to come back this year and be a real weapon, but how much do you think the Royals were counting on him to come back from this injury?
Certainly, and they still are. Look, Lucas Urseg has given this team something, obviously, that it's been searching for all season, and that is a sense of comfort that the door is going to be slammed in the ninth inning or in the highest of leverage situations. Yeah, I think we were all hoping that Hunter Harvey would come alongside him and eventually be that number two, but we're going to have to wait until the latter half of September probably for that to become possible. And look, that's fine by me, so long as he can pitch in down the stretch. But to go back to where we started, you know, this again shines a light of why there can be no regression from not only Cole Reagans, but all four of your big four starting pitchers. Now's not the time to lower expectations for anyone inside that. Well, I don't want to say anybody inside that clubhouse, but as far as the big names, the guys that got you here must continue to do what they've done if you're going to stay here or improve on where you're at.
When you look at where the lineup is like, I know it's always like, it's like spinning a good thing into a bad thing. So I try to be careful with that because I think that happens with the Chiefs and stuff sometimes too, Vern. But is it dangerous to rely on the three hitters in the middle of the order for all of your offense as much as the Royals do? You know, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi have come through time in and time out all season long, but boy, do they come and go by just those three guys in the offense. Is it risky for them down the stretch to be relying so heavily on just those three?
Sure. I brought it up to JJ back on Monday, and I asked him if it's sustainable, and he kind of smirked and said, well, how many games do we have left? You know, 30-some-odd. They've done it for this long. Let's hope. You know, let's hope it's sustainable. Yeah, of course it's risky. It's risky to rely on only three bats. It's risky to rely on one reliever in Lucas Urseg. Yeah, your weaknesses could be exposed starting on Friday when the competition gets ratcheted up. And if this team makes it to October, the reason why, if they do depart the postseason, is going to be because an opposing pitching staff was able to work around those big three bats and eat up the other six, or the opposition demolishes this Royals bullpen in the big spot. Yeah, it's but those are the breaks. You know, there isn't a, at least I don't see. Philly's close. Maybe the Dodgers can get there down the stretch, but I don't see that perfect team right now, not even in the American League. Yeah, Baltimore, I think Cleveland might be perfect when it comes to October, but not in the regular season. Everyone has weaknesses. It's just not allowing those weaknesses to drag you down. Or, as we've been talking about, it's about making your strengths on a nightly basis, and that ultimately allowing you to come out on top.
When are we going to get you in this hot dog derby on the fan night at the K? I know you're working. You're a busy guy on game days, of course.
I'm too busy.
But
you see me up there, man. I'm running around. Know, yeah, I'm doing so much.
For two innings, you know, you can't jog out to the outfield. And I want you to race Cody so when he goes 0-4, you can be 1-0.
Or I could work out something, take a dive.
Wow, take a dive? Help me out?
Yeah, we just need to figure out who would be the, if I'm shoeless Joe Jackson,
I just need you to run into the other guy. Doesn't really matter who the other person is, just as long as you take him out. Don't dive yourself. Wipe out the competition, you know?
Now, that would be fun. I would actually enjoy that. Just, you know, I'm like the guy you bring in whose only job is to plunk the dude because you know he's going to get thrown out.
Look, you
I like
more,
that. I'm not opposed to that.
Vern, you've got the clout with the Royals organization to where you could dive in the suit. They warn all of us, hey, don't you dare dive. Don't ruin the costume. You have the clout to where I think you could dive and nobody would have much of an issue with it.
No, I disagree with that. There's a lot of people in that building that have no idea. A majority of people that work there have no idea who I am.
Did you hear that Fesco took a shower? Have you ever taken a shower at the at Kauffman Stadium? Bob ran the hot dog derby.
What kind of question? I'm sure that's what he expected to get asked today.
Well, I mean, what?
No, I mean, it's a fair question.
Fesco took a shower after the hot dog.
Like, where the player shower?
No, I think it was like C-suite or something. He got somebody to take him upstairs.
He said he needed to take a shower.
Bob's low-key big deal. You know, I mean, he tries to act like he's one of us. He's a big deal. That's not surprising.
So that's a no.
Bob's been a name for a while. No, I've never taken a shower. At the ballpark, I've taken – yeah, you understand.
If they had given you a key, would you do it after a game sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, those summer, you know, those August days when you're doing the pregame or the postgame outside.
Yeah,
I could use a change of pants too sometimes.
All right, Vern, we'll be listening tonight.
Yeah, enjoy that mental image. All right.
Yeah, thank you for that. Vern's on deck show tonight, 6 o'clock, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
It's a fair question, I guess, about whether he's.
How many people have gotten to take a shower at Kauffman Stadium? Bob's in a select few. A small group at this point, I would guess.
I've never taken a shower in Kauffman Stadium. I can confidently say that.
Why would you?
I didn't even know that was a choice.
I don't think it really is. As Vern said, look, Bob, you know, he knows people. He knows people.
I don't even think I would have thought to ask. I've asked a lot of favors. I mean, I called up to Kauffman to see if I could practice racing a hot dog suit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have thought to call him the favor for, you think I could get a quick shower in?
Like, did he bring his own shampoo, or do they already have some body wash?
Or is it just like a rinse? Just like a water rinse.
Yeah.
It had to have been a water rinse. I doubt that.
He just rinsed off?
Just get the sweat off, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Put on some fresh deodorant and call it a day.
Okay. I don't know if he went full shower.
Next time we have JJ on, next week, we got to ask JJ.
You guys have showers up in the C-suite area?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I need some more information. I need a description. What kind of tile are we talking? I want to know what it looks like.
You want to know
I want the lay of the land of what this bathroom looks like. Is it just like a tiny closet just meant for like a quick rinse? Is it like a luxury shower in like a hotel style? I want to know.
Is there a bench?
Is there a bench, a seat? Just could I take a bath? Could you just take a whole bath there?
I'm gonna guess no. There is no way. There's no way. There's a bathtub. There's no way. It's a shower with a tub.
I want to know.
There's no way.
I gotta know now.
I would be stunned.
I want the full details now that we know that that's a thing that could take place at the K. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. I was not prepared for the new sound.
We're working on the random question sound.
I'm not quite sure where the guy says it like he's at the Renaissance Fair. A random question. Anyway, for you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over the text line 913-586-7965 or over on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. We live stream the show all 4 hours. So if you ever want to just catch us on video, that is available as well. Random question I have for you today is related to what we talked about earlier, Travis Kelce. It's been announced by Adam Sandler on a late night show last night that he will be in Happy Gilmore 2. Shooting starts in a couple of weeks. I'm sure Travis will fly out there on the off day on Tuesday, kick it for a few hours, fly back private after, and do his little cameo in there. So the question I have for you is not what is the best Adam Sandler movie, because I'm assuming we're all going to say my favorite's Billy Madison. Your favorite might be Happy Gilmore.
It's up there. I mean, Wedding Singer is also.
But so fantastic. Wedding Singer is way up there, too. My question is, what do you think is the most underrated Adam Sandler movie? 913-586-7965.
So maybe this is properly rated. I don't know. I still think, though, like Big Daddy was still, as a kid, that was still one of my favorite ones. And I don't. People
You're going like the like almost serious time. You know, Hustle was actually pretty good on Netflix, too.
Hustle was really good. But that's not underrated. I just Googled Adam Sandler top movies ranking from Rotten Tomatoes, and Hustle is number one.
Well, it was a good flick.
It was a really good movie.
But yeah. I don't think it's like a movie. If you said, name your favorite Adam Sandler movie, people aren't getting a Hustle for a while.
No, like I watched Uncut Gems. I don't think it was his best movie. Everybody like hyping it up like it was. He was good in it, and I liked it. Obviously, it had the gambling angle to it. But what's your answer, Drew? Sorry.
So, Drew, you said you would answer Hustle?
I would answer Hustle, yes. That was the one I was
thinking. I think mine's Anger Management. Like, I'm not claiming that it is a good movie. There's a lot of Adam Sandler movies I would not claim are good movies, as in Oscar-worthy, moved-me-emotionally movies. But Anger Management is funny the entire time. Jack Nicholson's performance in that, as the anger management coach who is consistently and constantly enraged himself is funny. The bit works. The setup works. There's a lot of really good actors in it. I think for underrated, it's not one people mention right off the tip of their tongue. Anger management is probably my answer. I see people saying Mr. Deeds and Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Click, I never saw that. I heard people say that sucked. So.
Look, Adam Sandler's been in plenty of terrible movies, too. We all know that. He was getting that check and didn't really care for a little while. And
kudos
to
him.
Yeah, exactly. Waterboy is another classic.
That's not underated. People just love the Waterboy.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying,
what are the ones with Jennifer Aniston, the mystery?
The murder mystery?
Yeah.
I never saw those. Are those underrated?
I think those are kind of underrated. In terms of Adam Sandler films, yes. It was funny. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, you gotta go see the movie. But I thought they were good movies. I thought it was fun.
So said Spanglish.
I mean, I saw it. I think I went on like a date with my wife when she was still my girlfriend to see it at like an indie flick.
Came out in 2004.
And I bet that was one of those movies. Like, we were still early enough in dating. Yeah, we'd probably been dating like 6 months or something, or a year. And like, we walked out of that movie and I was probably like, wow, you know, what a performance. You know, I don't remember being like, what a movie. I'm sure it was fine. But I don't remember. You know what? Actually, you know what? I want to change my answer. I have one final answer, and then I thought about it's Airheads. That's my actual answer. Airheads is probably my, but it's not an, it's a movie Adam Sandler's in, but I don't think about it as an Adam Sandler movie. Have you ever seen that?
I've never seen Airheads. Brendan it came Fager, out in 94, and yeah.
Brendan Fraser, Adam Sandler, and Steve Buscemi are three rock band guys who want to get their EP out there, so they hold a DJ hostage in a station. And Sandler plays
That's
the,
why
like,
you like this. This, he this plays, is, this is no, why no. Cody likes
he,
this movie.
He plays the character well. He plays Pip, which is just like the idiot third man who is not very good at any part of the plotting. He's not the leader in charge of holding them hostage. He's just kind of a dope who like is like flirting with the secretary the entire time, and they start to really like each other. Airheads is probably my answer.
Once you said the plot, now I know why you like it. It's someone that wants to get their EP played and they hostage of a deed. This is why you like the movie. This is what you're thinking
about.
This
is going to be me in 2 weeks when I'm not waiting up the 4 week
van. That's
right.
That's right.
I'm going to hold you all hostage and play it anyway.
There's a ton of these, admittedly, Adam Sandler movies I've just never seen.
There's a lot that I'm looking at.
Here's what Rotten Tomatoes says. Do you agree? These are the worst Adam Sandler movies.
Okay.
Jack and Jill. You ever see that?
No, but it looked really bad.
The Ridiculous Six.
Never saw it.
Bulletproof.
Oh, I've seen that. With Wayans? Damon Wayans?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that. I wouldn't call it good, but I found it entertaining when I watched
Grown Ups 2 was bottom five. The Do-Over and The Cobbler. Those were all bottom five.
The Cobbler?
Adam Sandler
That's a
movies.
Real movie?
The Cobbler came out in 2014.
There's a reason why some of them are bad. 50 First Dates is being mentioned a lot on the text line, 913-586-7965. Grown Ups got mentioned at least once. Mr. Deeds. It seems like there's a few, like, at least relatively consistent ones. Someone said Jack and Jill is horribly good. Like, just so bad, they're entertained by how bad it is.
Yeah. I'll solicit as the number one Adam Sandler movie. I knew Drew, you figured you would like that.
You know that. I'm sure Punch Drunk Love is at the top of the list too, right? Because it's his dramatic performances that are more critically acclaimed.
Number five.
Hey, you didn't get a lot of, there are way more. The ratio of Christmas to Hanukkah movies is 400 to 1. You an Eight Crazy Nights guy?
It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, gives you, you know.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I definitely did enjoy that.
Like, I just, you know.
That was number 41. of Adam Sandler's.
Oh, that's pretty low.
Yes, that came out in 2002. Oof.
Well, yeah, I mean,
long time ago. Anyway, Happy Gilmore 2.
There's a Happy Hanukkah for
Happy
a second.
Gilmore. Travis Kelce is going to be making a cameo. We know that's why we brought it up today.
Someone says Going Overboard is the worst, hands down. It is really bad. I've seen that one. Someone says Punch Drunk Love was terrible. It was an art by P.T. Anderson. It's an art movie in the most traditional sense. So if like, I don't think you like that movie unless you love going to like art house theaters and like are thinking about like the color during a certain scene, you know, it's meant to make you. It's like the antithesis of what it's like to go to a theater to see a Fast and the Furious movie. You're going to the Fast and the Furious movie because big stuff goes boom. Cars go fast. The Punch Drunk Love movie is essentially just like, you wanted to think about like the color schema during this scene that
sounds terrible.
It's just a different movie.
It sounds terrible.
It sounds interesting.
I'm just saying it's a different.
Watch this on the flight to Vegas later and just be like, ugh.
It's a different movie experience is all I'm saying. It's not I would say depending on what you like to watch, it's not good or bad.
How many times have you seen that, do you think?
I would just say, well, Punch Drunk Love? Twice? I bet I saw it. It was in the theater when I was working at the Tivoli, an art house theater that I am describing.
There you go.
So, I mean, I used to like build the film platter for that thing. So I've seen it a couple of times. But yeah, it's, you know, Tivoli doesn't even exist anymore. I don't even think there's any art house theaters remaining. You just have to go see, you know, like you just go catch him on like the Criterion Amazon Prime channel or whatever. I'm sure that's the kind of like if you
someone
like
it sounds like a good brilliant movie. If you can't sleep, that seems like the perfect movie to watch. Someone says it's terrible gold. Do not let Cody lie to you. Rotten Tomatoes had it as top five, so can't be that. I mean, it's not that bad. I don't think I would like it, but
someone says listen to his comedy album. Totally classic.
Yeah. I mean,
his one with the Thanksgiving song on. I got it for Christmas, and my parents let me listen to it in the car. It's full of curse words. Like I was the whole
Adam
day.
Sandler's Thanksgiving.
You got a CD player too. I wore that thing
out. Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving and Hanukkah song. I mean, come on, we've all heard that.
Wore those out on CD as a kid. Are you kidding? Someone said funny people would have been shorter. Better if it was 30 minutes shorter. Let's say an hour. That movie was.
You also think we've had this movie conversation.
That movie had an hour.
We've also learned though that you think every movie should be 90 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I think 2 hours.
Okay.
And I think there should be 0 3-hour movies. I think you should be arrested for making a 3-hour movie.
You said 2 hours max.
Well, I got great news for you, Cody.
159.59, Drew. That's the maximum length of any movie in my utopian society.
I got great news for you. The Hallmark movie that I'm in, I'm pretty sure if you take the commercials out, it's going to be 90 minutes or less.
That's going to be tight.
Should be good. That's the random question of the day. Up next here on 96.5 The Fan, we will get into the 1 o'clock hour where we hear from Bill Belichick, what he had to say about the Chiefs improving in one area that I think surprised us a little bit, plus a flag football player is speaking about Patrick Mahomes. We'll play that audio next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.